I just want to show you, I worked really hard this week to find the right color match. I mean, am I doing okay? Not bad, right? It was hanging up somewhere. It was hanging up somewhere, and I said, I think that matches. So in case you didn't know, the robes were a donation, a very generous, incredible donation given to us, and it actually enabled us to kind of pay it forward, I guess, with a donation of our own to a church that needed it. That church was able to do a donation of their own, I just saw. So I think it's kind of a neat way that the kingdom of God works as churches support one another and pull together. But isn't this, I mean, I know everyone's getting used to them being green and not white. I understand there's a difference, but, and I had to change my stole, and I'm okay with that. But glorious music this morning. Thank you, choir, for bringing that to us. As we focus on Jesus today, as we ought to focus on Jesus every day, we ask today, where did he come from? Really, where did any of us come from? Let me tell you a bit about where I came from. I was born in San Diego to two wonderful, young, energetic parents who had gotten married a couple years earlier in a Catholic church on a hill. My mom was born in Argentina. My dad was born in San Diego. My grandparents on my mom's side were Argentine, both of them born there. And my dad's parents were from Mississippi and New Jersey. And which may explain a lot about me, I don't know. But I can't quite really resolve how they even met. I just think that like a war had something to do with it, and here we are, and thank God. If you go further down the line on my mom's side, things actually get kind of interesting because Argentina's comprised of a bunch of people who decided to move from different countries in Europe and adopt Spanish as their language. So there's a possibility. I'm going to let you in on a family secret that I just discovered last summer. And let me say family secret. It's a potential secret. There's a possibility, I'm not saying it's likely, but there's a possibility that I am actually royalty. Yeah. Like, I needed that. I'm not kidding. It's possible that I'm like a prince. Oh my gosh, I didn't think I was going to have to sit down for this, but I'm not going to tell you all the dirty details because it's quite scandalous, but let's just say that if I did have royalty in my blood, it would be sadly from the now defunct Austria-Hungarian Empire. You remember that one from your history books? It was right after the fall of the Prussian Empire. Austria-Hungary became like a dual monarchy in the 1800s, and then it was dissolved before World War I. So, I mean, I don't really have a claim to anything at this point, but maybe I could have in the 1800s, but I found that out digging through genealogy books, and then I asked my grandpa a couple questions, and his response to me was, don't ask questions you don't really want to know the answer to. But doesn't that help you to know me better? let me give you a little bit more information about myself. I grew up by the beach. At this point, everyone should know this. I love the beach. My mom actually worked as a fashion model, and my dad was a surfer, a professional surfer. That is a job, and he did that in the 70s. And then he started working as a landscaper before he started his own company. They were both huge fans of the beach, so I grew up almost like every day at the beach. And I have pictures of, I wish there was a screen in here for the very purpose of showing you a picture of me surfing on my own when I'm 2 years old, riding a wave in. To this day, I still think I surfed better back then than I do today. But I also played baseball and soccer as a kid. I went to a Spanish immersion school. When I was 10, my family moved to Archer Street. Are you feeling like you know me better now? I always had my aunts and uncles around. I had a big neighborhood with a lot of kids, big family. We spent a lot of time as a family at my grandparents' house, seated around that dining table. And now you know everything there is to know about me. Not really, though. Knowing where I've been and physically where I came from, location, family genealogy, even with a little scandal involved, history, it's just a small part of the story. And that's what we're going to grapple with today as we talk about where Jesus came from. We're going through our first Jesus series called What's the Point? We're trying to figure out some of the who, what, where, when, and why, and how of the Jesus story. How do we end up here as Christians following this man who came to earth 2,000 years ago? What's the point of it all? Last week, we asked, why did he come? And John's gospel taught us a few reasons: to give light and grace, to save us, to be part of us, and to make us God's children. And again today, we're going to dig into the question, where did he come from? And to do so, we're going to use a set of scriptures that are more common at Christmas time. So I'm going to ask you to switch off the part of your brain that says, this seems out of place. I want to tell you from Luke's gospel, chapter 1, starting at verse 39. Let's start figuring out where Jesus came from. Listen and hear God's word for us. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And then Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Amen. So what I'd like to do is move on kind of through that Mary-Elizabeth interaction. Mary stays with her for 3 months, and then she goes back home. I want to get out there some of the more obvious answers to where did Jesus come from so that we can dive into some of the deeper theological meaning buried in Luke 1. Obviously, we know from the Christmas story that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit unto a virgin mother named Mary, who was betrothed to a man named Joseph. Mary and Joseph were both shocked at this turn of events. This wasn't their plan, but God spoke to them clearly, and they absorbed the reality, and they took very seriously their role as Jesus' earthly parents. Joseph was a trade worker, commonly thought of as a carpenter, although it's more likely he worked with stone, metal, and wood, other materials just as easily. And so he raised his son up as a trade worker as well, and for about the first 30 years of Jesus' life, that is what he did. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It was the city of David, named so because that's where King David, way before Jesus came on the scene, had been crowned king of Israel. And then the kingdom split, beginning the demise of the people of God, the lengthy demise. The two kingdoms split, and David's grandson, Rehoboam,
turned Bethlehem into a fortified city. Later on, that city became the government seat of the kingdom of Judah, and the place where anyone from David's line had to go register their family during the census period, which is why Jesus was born there during the census period. He could have been born anywhere, but he was born in David's city. And we know from the gospel accounts the history of Jesus' genealogy, who his grandparents and great-great-great-grandparents were, and the great-great-great-great-great ones, so on and so forth. In Matthew, we have a genealogy that takes us through the line of Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, and connects us back to King David. Now in Luke chapter 3, we have a different genealogy, which brings up a lot of questions often. Luke offers a genealogy of Mary's line, the mother of Jesus, that goes back all the way to King David. And in following with Jewish genealogy tradition, the legal father's name is given, not the mother's name, which is why it looks a bit confusing if you look at the two genealogies side by side. And the word son means more like descendant than actual male child, specifically. So Jesus came from a long line of famous biblical people, some better than others, some with very unique stories. We could look at them for a long time, and we actually have at different times in our life here at First Press, spent time looking at the genealogy of Jesus, but ultimately today, I just want to focus on one, King David, upon whom it was prophesied that his line of descendants would give rise to the Messiah at the proper time. Now, from John's gospel, we get a whole other angle of where Jesus came from. It says that Jesus has always been part of the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, eternal in nature. Jesus, the earthly incarnation of God, always existed before time. As John 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So that's some of the tangible pieces of where Jesus came from. I'd be remiss to not bring those up. They're real, historical, factual. You can go fly 18 hours across the globe and visit these locations. Bethlehem's still there. I've never been, but several of you have been. Jerusalem, clearly. But I want to shift from the more tangible pieces of where Jesus came from to the more theological parts of where Jesus came from, which I believe helps us to understand his ministry better, helps us to identify the point of his life. And these understandings are sprinkled throughout Luke's passage that we just read a little bit ago. First off, Jesus came from God's desire to bless us through giving us his presence. If we simply look at the interaction between Mary and Elizabeth, we see what a big deal the presence of God is. All Mary has to do with baby Jesus in her belly, all she has to do is say, "Hello, cousin," to Elizabeth. And the baby inside Elizabeth, who would be John the Baptist, leaps for joy. The place is filled with the presence of God's Spirit. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and I want you to imagine this scene. It's not like a little baby kick, okay? This is like a baby turning somersaults because something so amazing has happened. This is a strong movement that fills her up inside, a rush of the Spirit's presence within her. And we know that rush of the Spirit's presence. We've read about it. We've seen it. We've experienced it. At different times of our lives and different venues, we know what the Spirit's presence feels like, and we know when it's absent. In Christ, God is truly present. The truth of God's incarnation is that Christ came to be a blessing, to give us something new. Imagine people who heard him teach all of a sudden with such authority like they'd never heard before. And the people who saw his miracles saw power that they'd never seen before. And Elizabeth cries out to Mary that she is the most blessed of all because she has the presence of God inside of her, within her. And Elizabeth feels blessed to simply be in Mary's mere presence. Blessed is she who believed, says Elizabeth's cry, blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises. That quote from verse 45 segues beautifully into our next point, which is that Jesus came from God's desire to constantly and consistently fulfill his promises. For years and years and years and years, the people awaited the promised Messiah. God has to prove that he is the God who fulfills promises. They'd all read about it. They'd all heard the stories. Abraham was 100 years old, and he's told he's going to have a kid. And he has to wait on the promise of God to be fulfilled. Moses is told to go stand in front of the king, the Pharaoh, at the risk of his own life, and tell the Pharaoh, I'm walking out of here with the Israelites. And it might not have been that simple, but that's the basic gist of it. And he walked out 10 plagues later and into what would eventually be a promise that God wouldn't break. God promised the Israelites they would be free, and they were free indeed. And then Joshua comes on the scene. He's a young guy being given charge of the Israelites, trying to fill the shoes of the historic hero Moses. Can you even imagine? And he takes those first steps across the Jordan into the promised land. God fulfills his promises. But for years and years and years, things had been really rough on the people of God. They felt like maybe his promises wouldn't be fulfilled anymore. The Messiah, the Christ, was always a thought, an idea. But when would he come? For a long time, it seemed like it would never come to pass, and then the child is born. And it reminded them all that even when we don't feel like God is listening, like God cares, like God loves us, like God's paying attention to what's going on in our lives, we worship and love and serve a God who constantly and consistently fulfills his promises. Whether it's on our terms or not, it's not up to us. Thirdly, Jesus came from a long line of faithful servants who helped shape his selfless life to the very end. In Mary's own statement, she recalls her humble state as a servant of God. Now you have to remember, this is not Mary's life plan. She's a teenager. She's not even married yet. She has a lot of explaining to do. She's going to come under a lot of criticism. It's going to be a tough road. You have to imagine those nights that she cried, like, God, anybody but me. Why do I have to go through this persecution every single day, the looks and the whispers? This was a very hard road. This was a path that nobody would understand. But she took on the role and bore the child that everyone made assumptions about. She birthed him and fed him and raised him as her very own, even though she knew he had so much more to offer. She gave up her entire life and anything she'd ever planned to do in order to be the Messiah's mom. Joseph did much the same, under public scrutiny, really having to bury his pride in order to be the man that Jesus would need here on earth in his formative years, in order for Jesus to get ready for ministry. Again, these are two servants who give up everything to bring Jesus into the world and raise him into his ministry life. And of course, wouldn't he become the greatest servant of all? Lastly, Jesus came from God's display of mercy and his mighty deeds. God's mercy, according to Mary, extends from generation to generation to his followers, and by the end of Jesus' life, we realize that he was the bearer of God's mercy as he gave his own life on the cross so that all of us might live. In terms of God's mighty deeds, sure, Jesus performed a lot of displays of God's power. We see the work of the Holy Spirit still today, the displays of God's power, but no deed would be greater than the rescue and salvation of humanity and the promise of eternal life for all who love and serve Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We can talk all day about where Jesus came from in an earthly, tangible sense. But the truth is, Jesus came from a different place. He came from a place of fulfillment of God's promises and a means of grace to us all. Jesus came from God's will, even more than he came out of a family line. It is in God's will and God's plan that we find our salvation and that we find the grace that allows us to live each day here and ultimately live our future in eternity at the throne of Christ. It is in God's will that we find our eternal home and get to rest in his promises now and forevermore. So where did Jesus come from? He came from God because God loves us and wants us to be with him. Amen.